But real friends. Church, I believe if we could get our friends right, they could help set us up for great achievements in every area of our life. But the flip side, I think, is just as true. If we get our friendships wrong, I believe they could set us up for more pain and troubles and trials than we ever bargained for. There's a key thought that I want to revisit again and again throughout the next few weeks, and it's simply this statement. You show me your friends, and I'll show you your future. You show me your friends, and I'll show you your future. You show me the people that you spend most of your time with, and I'll show you the trajectory of your life, where it's heading. In fact, King Solomon, over thousands of years ago, basically made this same statement when he said in Proverbs 13:20, he records these words for us. Walk with the wise and become wise, for a companion of fools suffers harm. Heavenly Father, this morning as we engage ourselves with your word, Lord, teach us from it. Train us, equip us to be the friends that we ought to be, and equip us with the friends we ought to have. In Jesus' name, amen. The scripture simply says, walk with the wise, and what do you become? Walk with the wise, and what does it say? You become? Good, I just want to make sure you're involved. On the other side, it says, hang out with fools, and you will suffer harm. You'll have trouble in your life. If you choose to hang out with people who are better than you, wiser than you, smarter than you, maybe even better leaders than you are, you're probably going to become like them. You will rise to their level. But if you hang out with a bunch of idiots, I know that's a strong statement, but you've run into a few in your life. And everybody say, come on, you know what I'm talking about. There are people who get in trouble all the time, people who struggle with life all the time. And if you hang out with them, they'll drag you down to where they are. You show me your friends, and I'll show you your future. In fact, as I kind of took a moment and looked at my life, if there is any success in my life, it is directly tied to God using the right people to lead me along the right paths and to make the right choices. But I can also, in my failures, I can point to the other side of those who led me down the wrong paths, who helped me make wrong decisions. I need to take a moment, though, and I think it would be good for us to define friendship. So we have a baseline definition to work from. Facebook had a definition, so I thought it might work. Do you know what Facebook definition says? Facebook friends are individuals who have mutually agreed to be Facebook friends, allowing you to view information on their profile, follow each other's postings, post on each other's wall, etc. Either party can request to be a friend, but the other party must accept the request. Basically, what they're saying is a friend, it may be someone you know or not know who accepts your friend request on Facebook. That's a friend. I just kind of wonder, though, could this mix of friends, casual friends, work friends, friends of friends, friend-seeking stranger friends, creepers, okay? Could this kind of friendship work? Honestly, I don't think so. Quickly, we can kind of find out Facebook does not really define what a friend is. But I do have to admit this morning that Facebook is having a real impact on defining friendships in our world today. But I am glad that God's Word does give us a definition, and maybe that's the one we ought to use this morning. In Proverbs 17, verse 17, it tells us this, a friend loves at all times. A friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for a time of adversity. A brother's born to help you in a tough time is what it's saying. I want you to read, though, the first part of this verse with me. Ready? All together. A friend loves at all. One more time. A friend loves at all. Wouldn't it be great to have a handful of maybe five or six friends who loved you all the time? Not just the short season, but maybe for decades of your life where you're learning from each other and you kind of make each other better because of the friendship. The problem is, and whether you really think this is true or not, I believe that very few of us have friends like that anymore. I noticed after high school and after college and getting into the workforce and then kind of going from church to church even, your friends keep changing. And some have come to church and said, I'll be your friend, and then off they go again. It's amazing. Friends, it's hard to, as life goes on, it's hard to have those real good friendships that I believe God wants us to have. According to the American Sociological Review, the average American today only has two close friends. But they tell us that 25 years ago, the average American had six close friends. In just 25 years, it has been reduced to a third of what it used to be. Real problem, I think, is that no one really seems to notice or care about it. But I believe the Word of God does care about our friends. Why are friendships declining? There's three reasons that are given in this article. One, the most obvious, is that work hours have increased. People are now working more hours, and they're not developing and have time to develop the relationships and friendships like they should. A second reason was given that friendships are declining because of divorce rate. The studies are showing that divorces are not only hard on the families, but it's hard on the friends. People are having to make choices now of who will be friends with who. A third reason for friendships declining, and young people, you may not like this one, but it states that it's due to the explosion of social media. Now, I'm not against social media. I think there's a lot of great uses for it. But unfortunately, it is redefining the way we think about our friendships. For example, here's a good example. You would have never called up 140 of your friends and told them what you ate for breakfast. But today, that's what we quickly broadcast over social media. There's a lot of people that think nothing of broadcasting. Hey, I had oatmeal for breakfast. Post it. And you know what? I'll even take a picture of it. Show it to them. And so often people are now allowing social media to replace the intimacy of relationships. So what we have is a lot of people who have a lot of likes, they have more fans, they have followers, they have Facebook friends, and yet people are more lonely than they've ever been in life. And people are beginning to recognize there's something missing in my life. And people are searching. And what they're searching for, only God really has the answer for it. So today I want to lay down some biblical friendship foundations. Just maybe you are one friend away from changing the course of your destiny. That's what I want to talk to you about. Throughout the Word of God, we see it again and again in the lives of the people in Scripture. Pastor Grant, you made the comment, we can learn a lot from the people in the Bible. And we can. In fact, that's what we're going to do this morning. In Acts chapter 9, I want to show you a person, we know him as the Apostle Paul. His whole life was changed when he was engaged by a new friend. In Acts chapter 9, verse 26, it reads this way. When he came to Jerusalem, speaking of Paul, he tried to join the disciples, but they were all afraid of him, not believing that he really was a disciple. What is this talking about? Well, before Paul was the Apostle Paul, his name was Saul. He was known as the chief persecutor of the Christians. He not only persecuted Christians, he killed Christians. And now he is proclaiming he is a Christian. He's like, I want to preach. And all the Christians are like, I don't trust you. Last week you were killing us, and now you want to preach with us? It didn't make sense. You can see where they're coming from. But verse 27 introduces to us a man named Barnabas. In verse 27, but Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles. And he told them how Saul on his journey has seen the Lord and that the Lord has spoken to him and how in Damascus he had preached fearlessly in the name of Jesus. Barnabas, this newfound friend, puts his own credibility on the line to vouch for Saul. And the scriptures go on to tell us in verse 28, so Saul stayed with them and moved about freely in Jerusalem, speaking boldly in the name of the Lord. What happened? God used one person, Barnabas, to change the course of Paul's destiny. Did you know now over half of our New Testament is written by the Apostle Paul? He has impacted millions upon millions of people because the course of his history was changed because of one friend, Barnabas, to change the course of his destiny. The same is true for every single person in this room today. You literally could be just one friend away from changing the course of your destiny today. I want to show you three types of friendships, foundational friendships that every person needs. In fact, you may be surprised, or I wouldn't be surprised, if we cross these and you say, well, I really don't have that friend in my life. Well, I believe God wants us to have these friends in our life. So we're going to look at King David in the Old Testament. And I want us to look at three of his friends. Their names are Samuel, Jonathan, and Nathan. Three friends that helped David become who God wants him to be. The first foundation that we're going to look at this morning is found in Samuel coming to David. And it's the first one, a friend who can see what God sees in us. Can you say that with me? A friend who can see what God sees in us. Let me give you the context, though. God had just rejected Saul as king. Now, this is a different Saul than the one in the New Testament. This is Saul in the Old Testament. He was king over Israel, and God rejected him and took his spirit off of him. And now he's calling a prophet named Samuel to go, and he's going to appoint the next king. Samuel ends up going to the house of Jesse. And he calls for his boys to come. And Samuel looks at the oldest son. He was handsome. He was strong. He was tall. And he thought, surely this is the one God has chosen. And God said, nope, not him. And so he says, bring the next oldest boy to me. Surely this will be the one that God chooses. And God once again says, nope, not him. And son after son, Samuel goes through the list of sons, seven of them. And he's like, God, what are you up to? The one you are appointing is not here. And God says, the problem is this. You look at the things that people look at. You look at the things of the outside of people. But God says, I look at the heart. You see, God saw something in the runt of Jesse's family, the little boy David, who was out tending sheep, wasn't even at the house. And no one else could see except what God could see until he showed it to Samuel. And when David walks in that room, God showed to Samuel's heart that day what the Lord saw. In fact, in 1 Samuel 16, verse 12, it tells us that the Lord said, rise and anoint him. This is the one. So Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the presence of his brothers. And from that day on, the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon David. Samuel then went to Ramah. What's interesting to me in this is there's not a single person in that family who could see what God could see in David. But God allows Samuel to see it. And Samuel's proclamation that day that he would be king helped David get on a path that would change the course of his destiny. Now, here's the thing. So many of our so-called friends, did you know they're friends by accident? The guys in the gym, the buddies at work, the mom, the soccer mom that you meet when you go to the soccer game and you just kind of bump into them and they become your friend. The person that sits in the classroom beside you, behind you, that you meet day by day. A lot of our friends happen by accident. They happen because we're in the places that we are. But those people don't necessarily see the God potential in you. You need someone that God places in your life who helps make you better, especially at the things that matter most. Because you show me your friends, and I'll show you your future. I don't want to live my life by accidental friendships. If you're hanging out with people who eat donuts for a hobby, chances are you're not going to be in good health. You want to hang around people who make you better. In fact, Proverbs 27:17 says, as iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. We need friends who can see what God sees in us and then help us pursue what God wants for our lives. And you will be sharpened by those people who have been called by God, who have been placed in your life. It won't be by chance. It will be by design. David also had another friend named Jonathan. Jonathan helps David find spiritual strength. In fact, a second thing that all of us need in this room is this: a friend who helps us find spiritual strength in the Lord. Say that with me. A friend who helps us find spiritual strength in the Lord. Let me fast forward a little bit in David's life. David had been anointed to be king, but he's not king yet. In fact, David becomes a war hero, and all the women started noticing David. He's kind of cute. They really didn't notice it before, but they started making up songs about him. They would sing, "Saul has killed his thousands, but David has killed his tens of thousands." Well, Saul got to hearing this song, and it made King Saul a little mad. In fact, it made him jealous. In fact, he determined that he would kill David. Saul felt David was getting too much attention. The story picks up in 1 Samuel 23, in verse 15. One day near Horesh, David received the news that Saul was on the way to Ziph to search for him and kill him. Verse 16, Jonathan, who happens to be Saul's son, went to find David and encouraged him to stay strong in his faith in God. What did Jonathan, who happened to be the son of Saul, do? Well, he encouraged David. Even though his dad was after him, Jonathan goes and finds David and says, "Stay strong in your faith." Every one of us need friends who will help us to be strong and spiritually strengthened every day. I don't care how mature you think you are in the Lord, we all get tempted. In fact, we all get down at times. And we need friends who will walk into our lives and say, "I'm with you. You know, I'm going to strengthen you in the things of the Lord." God is the strength of our hearts. We can make it. You can make it. I'm personally thankful for those who have surrounded me with their prayers and their support. In fact, just this week, I found many of those friends. In fact, I received cards. I received phone calls. I received texts. And those people would call me and encourage me and help me find strength in the Lord. In fact, I brought a couple of those cards with me this morning. This was a fun one when I received it and opened it. It is a homemade card. But they put a picture on the front. If you can't make it out, it's someone who has a cast on their foot, and they've got their feet crossed. And on the toes of the foot that's good, he's got smiley faces. On the toes of the sad foot, it's got sad faces. It's really cute. I liked it. It said, "Joy." I was on a lot of medication when I read it, too, and maybe that was it. It said, "Joy knows it's on the winning side. That's why it can rejoice even in the midst of suffering." But this person began to encourage me, and they told me of a story that happened just over a year ago when they suddenly went blind in one eye. And they just began to encourage that as Jesus suffered, you know what? We are being trained in the midst of everything that we're going through, that we can still know the grace of God and He'll see us through everything. And they just began to write and share that with me. I was encouraged by that. There was another card I received. It's a Peanuts card. It just simply said, "Please get well soon." And it just said, "We miss your smiley face." And I thought, I'm encouraged by that. And then I began to read their writing, and it said, "Praying for your healing." I'm like, I'm good with that. In fact, wouldn't it just be great if the Lord, by this next Thursday, I go to the doctor and this thing would just be completely healed? I still believe God does things like that. If there's another reason He wants me to walk through something, I will. Well, I guess not walk through it, hobble through it. But whatever it is, I trust God. But I'm still asking Him to heal me. But there was something else they added to this that kind of hits my next point. And it said, pray for your healing and the ability to let others do things for you. And I'm like, that's hard. But they're praying for that. In fact, I found my limitations. I'm like, I can't drive. I can't walk. I can't do. I'm like, I'm limited. In fact, my wife was my hero this week. And sweetheart, thank you for serving me and helping me. And amen. I love her. We all need friends that encourage us and strengthen us. And that's why this final point I think is important. There's another person in David's life. His name is Nathan. The first friend is a friend who can see what God sees in us. Second, a friend who helps us in spirit or helps us find spiritual strength in the Lord. But this third friend, a friend who will tell us the truth. You see, when I read this card, there was a truth in it that I needed to hear. I need people to help me. You know, probably the reason I got in the condition I am is because I probably should have had more people helping. We need a friend, though, who would tell us the truth. Here's what happened to David. If you know, the Bible tells us he was a man after God's own heart. And he was focused on God until he took his eyes off of God. And one day got his eyes on a woman named Bathsheba. And he ends up committing adultery and murder. And David somehow couldn't see the magnitude of what he had done. But God still loved David, and he sends a friend to David, and his name is Nathan. And Nathan comes to tell David the truth. Nathan arrives, and he says, let me tell you a little story, David. It's found in 2 Samuel chapter 12, beginning verse 1. He says there were two men in a certain town. One was rich and one was poor. The rich man owned a great many sheep and cattle. The poor man owned nothing but one little lamb he had bought. He raised that little lamb and it grew up with his children. He ate from the man's own plate and drank from his cup. He cuddled it in his arms like a baby daughter. One day, a guest arrived at the home of the rich man. But instead of killing an animal from his own flock or herd, he took the poor man's lamb and killed it and prepared it for his guest. David was furious. As surely as the Lord lives, he vowed, any man who would do such a thing deserves to die. And in verse 7, Nathan tells him the truth. Then Nathan said to David, you are that man. Nathan loved David enough to tell him the truth. Even though Nathan could have lost his head, David was the king. When David saw what he hadn't seen before, he became brokenhearted before God. In fact, you can go to Psalm 51 and you can read David's prayer after Nathan confronted him. When was the last time you had a friend who loved you enough and really told you the truth? Maybe said, don't do that. It's not good for you. You're not following God. That's going to hurt your testimony if you keep doing those things. The things you're choosing to do are hurting your family. It's hurting your marriage. You're hurting your relationship with God. See, I'm thankful for those who have courage to be like Nathan and to be this kind of friend who is gentle yet truthful. This morning, if you would allow me the latitude of being your friend this morning, I want to say this. Some of you will never become what God wants you to become because you are relationally impoverished. You are poor in your relationships. You don't have the friends you need. You see, I'm probably not much different than you in this regard. I've been working on my friendships. In fact, how transparent can I be with you this morning? As a pastor, sometimes it's hard to have those close friendships. In fact, with my own pastors, sometimes because I'm their boss, the relationship gets skewed a little bit. I can go play tennis a little bit or this or that, and we can do things together. But it's sometimes hard to have those deep relationships with people. Because I'm like you. I love just to have fun. But I like it always to be good, clean fun. The church, it's hard to develop those relationships. But we need them. I need them. You need them. One or two friends is not enough. It's not what God intended for your life. God wants us to have many friends. He wants us to have individuals and even communities of friends that can speak into our lives. I mean, next week, talking about these community of friends, we need small groups in our lives of people who can speak into our lives. You need people who can pour into you, serve you. This card I received, it was from one of my previous board members. I thought it was interesting as he wrote to me and said, let others do things for you. I needed to hear that because I want to do it by myself. I can make it upstairs and downstairs. And my wife is like, no, you can't. I just need to be there. And so I recognize that and I'm working through that. God wants us to have friends who pour into us and to help us to live a life worthy of our Christian calling. Did you know you could just be one friend away from the course of your life being changed? But that could be negative. That could be positive. Some of you today, you could probably look at your friends and you just might see the negative course that you're on. Church, could I tell you? People, could I tell you? It's time to change that direction today. If you're living a little bit lukewarm in your life, you're kind of half-hearted in your commitment to the Lord, maybe it's time to fully turn to Him and surrender to the Lordship of Jesus in your life. Could I tell some of you when the highlight of your week is a football game? Or maybe just the weekend that's coming? Could I tell you probably something's wrong in your life? You have a higher calling to the weekends. You're just one friend from waking up to the divine purpose and living for the higher call that God has for your life. Today, there may be those of you who are just one friend away from meeting a risen Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Did you know He'll be a friend that would stick closer than a brother? Simultaneously, He could be King of Kings and be your best friend. A friend that you never dreamed possible. He'll never forsake you. He'll never leave you. To all of us, church, we need to have those friends in our lives. But on the other side, we need to be that kind of friend. You see, if you walk with the wise, you will be wise. If you have a companion of fools, you will suffer harm. Church, I want us to choose to walk with the wise. We need a friend who can see what God sees in us. Did you know the Bible tells me that He has plans for you, plans to prosper and help you? I want to tell you that today as your friend. God has good things in store for you. In fact, He works all things together for good. He doesn't necessarily cause all things, but He works all things and moves them so we can pursue God even more. We all need a friend who will help us to find spiritual strength in the Lord. I know the days ahead are evil. Can I be honest with you? They're evil. I don't see a whole lot of good happening. We're going to need friends who speak to our lives and encourage us and strengthen us in the Lord. And you're going to need a friend who will tell you the truth. I need that kind of friends in my life. I had someone right after or after service come to me, and they're a physical therapist, and they said, Pastor, I just need to let you know the crutches are not set quite at the right place. I need someone to tell me the truth, and they're going to help me afterwards. I want to get them in the right place. See, I don't know all those things. I need people who speak the truth into our lives. This morning, church, we're going to need to change possibly some of our friends. And I'm going to talk to you In fact, in 2 weeks from now, I'm going to go ahead and tell you the title of the message, and I don't even like it, but the title is Unfriending. We need to be careful who we put into our lives, because you could just be one friend away from changing the destiny of your life, for good or for bad. Would you bow your heads? This morning, maybe you're here and you never came and thought you'd be listening to someone sitting on a couch with a broken foot. But this morning, I want to be your friend and I want to call you and say, you know what? We all need the Lord. And maybe you don't have Jesus as your best friend today. Could I ask you, start there. Maybe you've never accepted Jesus as your Savior. Could I ask you today, would you just slip up a hand and I want to pray with you today and believe with you and invite Jesus to be your best friend. If that's you in this place today, would you just slip up your hand, whether in the balcony or main floor? I'm just looking around. Is there anyone? I don't take long with it. Amen. Would you look at me this morning? Church, I'm really in no great condition. You know, I'm one of these people. I'm like, call me if you need me. Call me if you need me to talk to you. I have limitations in my life right now. But church, we have a body of friends. And we need to let them speak into our lives. You're going to need me. You're going to need each other in the days ahead. Church, be careful of who you allow to be friends in your life. The church, look for those friends that you do need. Believe God will send the people to your life and position people in your life to be your friends. Don't exclude them. They may be the very ones who are telling you the truth. Church, I know it's evil out there. And I know it's easily to be swayed by our peers. In fact, there are people in ministry today that I don't even allow to be my friends. They claim Christ as their Savior, yet I watch their lives and I'm like, I can't align myself with them. There are those who call themselves churches who say they're preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, yet they allow sin to run rampant in the church. I can't align myself with those kind of churches. We have to stand up in this day. We need to align ourselves to the Word of God and to the Word of God only. Church, we're going to be challenged who our friends will be in the days ahead. And I'm asking you, stand up, rise up, be the friend you need to be, and allow the friendships in your life that should be. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Heavenly Father, help us. We need your help as the church. We cannot do this alone. And God, give us the friends we need. Encourage us and strengthen us each day. God, be Lord of our lives first and foremost. And be the friend that sticks closer than a brother. But Lord, surround us with the people of God that will encourage us and strengthen us and speak truth to us. In Jesus' name. And in agreement, if you believe in that prayer with me, would you say amen? Amen. Amen. God bless you. Have a Jesus-filled week. Live for Him with joy in your hearts. God bless you.